All right. Yeah, I can't use that. None of that. A lot of it, mostly because of your swearing.
Yeah.
And
my attitude.
And your attitude. Your attitude means we cannot use that okay. opening.
I'm gonna try harder.
You can't try. You can't try less.
Right.
I can't. I couldn't think of the opposite of harder. Softer.
Less hard.
You can't try softer.
That's true.
Hello and welcome to episode 301 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam. Thrilled to be here. Ramped up as always.
Do you know during that little part of when you talk, that's when I have a sip of coffee.
Oh, I should have stretched it out and you could have had a chug.
A little behind the scenes for the listeners. That's how we do it here.
Okay, I have coffee as well, so I'm going to drink now. Say something interesting.
See how we get each other's back?
Yeah.
Finishing each other's sentences?
Right.
That's how we do it. Do you buy your coffee on Amazon?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could. Mine probably comes from the Amazon.
Yeah, it probably does.
Yeah, or Ethiopia.
Everybody else should buy theirs on Amazon.
If you do, what I'm saying is if you do buy it on Amazon, please click through our site. People are doing that, and we appreciate it. It helps us out. Helps because we don't have advertisers. Did you know that?
No, I fully thought we did.
No, Sears, actually. we're in the catalog, oddly.
I keep getting these checks dropped off from Canon Canada, so I didn't know what that was all about.
You could have gone Young Nuo and made it believable.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Please stop mentioning our stuff. I did buy something on Amazon.
Okay.
Bought my daughter a new bed.
Okay.
Isn't that kind of an odd Amazon
like
purchase?
A mattress or a frame?
Like a frame.
Okay.
It's an odd, I feel that to be an odd Amazon purchase.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you want to get your hands on early. Make sure she likes it and you want to see it before you buy it. Make sure it's sturdy. Cannot find the one that she wanted.
How does she know what she wanted?
She is a huge fan of the 70s and wanted a waterbed with a fish tank in it.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I kind of steer her towards what I think she would want, like a pretty white princess bed, something like that.
Right.
But something that's going to stand the test of fashion time. I've never wanted to buy her like a little kid's bed or like I don't like Sam's not getting a racing car bed.
Oh, he's missing out.
Is he?
Yeah.
On what? Does Jack have a racing car bed?
No.
No. So, you neglected him.
Okay.
So anyways, point being is I could not find the bed anywhere here, like a store. I'm going to come out and say it, not a huge fan of German design in general.
You?
Me, yeah.
Okay.
Be it, now I haven't studied in depth in the Bauhaus movement or anything like that, but...
I just finished one of those.
Well, that's weird.
Okay.
It's a new low.
Just moving on.
Yeah. But just in general, like I don't love the style here. Like and it could be me. It could be me coming, to a new country, but in general, very little is neutral. Like even the old classic stuff, like you look for antiques. It's really that sort of in your face, it just yells antique to you instead of just sort of being part of the aesthetic. I really should have made some notes on this because I'm going off.
I'm wildly confused. It's way too early for me for you to be throwing those kind of this kind of talk at me.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to use the router, I prefer just a regular old rounded edge. I don't need a Roman OG, okay? I'm not a fan. Okay. Not a fan of the Roman OG. That's it.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
So she got a bed. Great. Amazon. We'll buy her beds there.
There you go. I'll let you know how it
But click through the two hosers when you do.
Please do.
Okay.
So what's going on, Adam?
I don't know. It's Thanksgiving. That's going on.
It is Thanksgiving. I was going to make... I completely forgot when we scheduled the podcast. Well, scheduled. The podcast was...
Canadian Thanksgiving. Let's be clear. The Americans celebrated on a different weekend.
Not even on the weekend, do they? Thursday.
I don't know. Yeah, theirs is usually a Thursday, and it's really a football holiday.
As far as I can tell. How are the Lions doing this year? That's all need to know.
Cowboys.
Is it Cowboys? It's always Detroit Lions,
it's always, isn't it? And Cowboys are always in there, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so... I was going to ask you about Thanksgiving. Is Thanksgiving, does it seem like it's coming earlier and earlier now?
No.
No? Not to you?
No, I just thought it'd be argumentative.
Oh.
I don't know. It seems like it's coming once school starts. To me, it's like school starts a month later, then it's Thanksgiving.
I'm trying to think back when I was a kid, though. It seemed maybe it was colder then. Maybe it was more autumn-y and more fall.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't move Thanksgiving. It's always like the second Sunday in... Is it the second Sunday in
October?
October? Monday? It's a Monday, isn't it?
I think it's actually
the holiday
a Monday.
Is Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like the second Monday. I think it's the second Monday in October, which is a little bit early this year, I suppose. It could be earlier. It could be 2 days earlier. But point being, it always felt like it was a lot colder and we're more closer to the World Series instead of the wild card, you know?
Right.
So maybe it's just frame of reference, but I'm still wearing T-shirts, wore a T-shirt outside today, and it doesn't feel like Thanksgiving to me.
Okay, it's colder here, so
okay.
it feels it. I'm feeling it here.
You can wear a T-shirt, but you're going to pay for it.
Yes, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I got some... we're on episode 301, right?
Sure.
Did we talk last week about 301 being a prime number?
I think we did. Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Why did we talk about that?
I have no idea.
I don't remember, but I did get a notice from one of our listeners about, I said 301 is a prime. It's not.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and this one, I'm not even joking, this one actually stings. This one really stings me bad.
Because you're like the prime number guy.
I'm not the prime number guy. I'm not, okay. You know, my nickname is Fibonacci. And so it's more so we're going to go right into the geek looking glass here.
Okay.
So like buckle your helmets. It's the fact that 301 is actually 7 times 34.
Okay, it's 34 meaningful.
No, 43. Sorry. I just flipped that. Seven times 43.
Okay. Is that meaningful to you?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
See, I had this obsession when I was, not obsession, but like when I was in grade 8 or 9, I forget when that was. It was a long time ago. So I was like 13. I was probably 13 years old. And one of my math teachers, or my only math teacher back then, I had the same guy every year, showed us this little trick. Hey, man, like if you want to do numbers in your head, you want to divide a number by 3, and you want to find out if you can divide it by 3, simply add up all the digits in the number, and if you can divide that number by 3, then you can divide the full number by 3.
Oh, gotcha.
For example, keep it simple, 81. 8 plus 1 is 9. You can divide that by 3, you're good.
Right.
But it works for large numbers, 243. That becomes 9 as well.
Okay.
246. That becomes 12, which
it doesn't work for 301 though.
No, it doesn't. I'm getting to that. Okay. But once again, once you add those numbers up, if it's a long number and you add them all up and you still get a large number, you can add them up again and you can keep adding up, and any number that's divisible by 3 will eventually add up. The digits will eventually add up to 3, 6, or 9.
Okay.
Yay, fun fact that you're not going to care about.
Right.
But a 13-year-old Alan did, and so I went home and sort of kind of noodling around with other numbers and settled on the number 7. Odd fascination with the number 7, don't know why. And figured out a way to test for 7s. Like for long, you could break these long digits, long numbers, and do some, I won't even get into how you do it, that's not important. But you can do something to those numbers and determine if they're divisible by 7.
Okay.
Took it to the teacher the next day, and he was legitimately fascinated. He was the only one, really. And he actually named it after me. He called it the Attridge attribute.
Okay.
And started teaching it, and it became part of his curriculum. He took it, and he took it and ran with it, and he built it, and other students were taking it and expanding on it. So it's become this other thing. This whole vein of math started because of this.
This is very similar to E equals MC squared.
Nowhere near as important.
Oh, I thought I thought that's where you're headed.
Unless you happen to know Einstein personally, and then, okay. You know. So then it's cool. But So anyways, and then a few years ago, I was, you know, going back to Vancouver for something, and I got in touch with Mr. Harwood and said, hey, I haven't seen you in a long time. Can I take your portrait?
Also, there's a photo tie-in here.
There's a photo tie-in, barely. Okay. But okay. I went and took his picture, and I'll dig it up, and I'll post it on the show. And you, in the background on the board, like, we wrote some stuff on the chalkboard to be for the background.
I think you've posted this on the Two Hosers like 150 episodes ago.
Absolutely did.
Okay.
We'll do it again anyways. Point being...
I don't think you've told this story, though.
Point being is if you look in the background, you'll see there's a lot of sevenry going. That's what it's called, sevenry.
Okay.
Just named it that right this second.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sevenry going on in on the board in because of that. It's this little sort of in-joke that he did.
I've been waiting to hear why there's so many sevens in that photo this entire time. Oh, my God.
Well, not that there's sevens,
I can sleep well tonight.
But there might be a 1-4-2-8-5-7 there. I don't even know. I don't remember. Point being,
please.
301 is divisible by 7.
Okay.
And I should have known that the whole fact that, like, if it was any other number, if it was divisible by 13 or something like that, I would not feel as bad as I do. I'm honestly gutted that I didn't pick up that 301 was divisible by 7.
Average. Ouch. Attribute. Yeah. Average attribute.
Yeah, so there you go. So I think it was Paul who pointed that out to me. Thanks for rubbing my nose in it, Paul.
Okay, great. Yeah. Woo!
Woo!
This is going to be a doozy this week.
I blacked out for a minute there.
So did most of our audience.
I'm not going to lie to you. I had pants on when I started the show. I don't even see them in the room.
That's weird.
Okay. What else is... What's going on with you? How you feel about the number 8?
I love it. No, I don't care.
It's
another number. It's got a couple of circles. Yeah. Looks like a snowman.
I love shooting it at golf.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, I'm staying off Facebook for a while.
Why?
Baseball playoffs.
Oh, you're trying to not find out what's happening.
I love we've had this discussion a lot of times. I love / hate technology. I love the fact that I can sit in my couch and to my HDTV stream baseball live or a few hours later if I choose in HD. It is awesome. While I'm in Germany,
mm-hmm.
That part is awesome. Like, that was unthinkable a few years ago. Just that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
Now it is, and it is awesome. Like, there's no lag time. Like, it really is fantastic. Love it. The other part of technology, and this isn't the technology part, this is kind of human nature, is I don't... Help me understand why people insist on posting Jays win milliseconds after they win on the Facebook. Why do grown men do that?
That's weird, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it either.
It was the other day. I mean, I didn't watch the wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really care too much about Toronto getting in, oddly. More of a National League guy. But was going to watch it and then accidentally open up my browser or something and boom, it's someone had posted it. Hey, just in case you're waiting to watch it, don't. Because the game started at 2 a.m. here, right? So there's no way I'm staying up for that. That's ridiculous.
Right.
And so, yeah, so I basically have to go dark on Facebook now.
Yeah.
Off the grid.
That may have been, like, the wild card game may have been, well, may have, it probably was one of the greatest baseball games that I've ever watched. And I've watched a lot of baseball in my life, especially a lot of Toronto Blue Jays baseball, because that's really the only team that I care about. And that wild card finish to that game was, I mean, the whole game was just high drama, but the finish to that game... For those of you, hopefully by now, I'm not spoiling
too
anything,
late.
was a walk-off home run by Encarnacion that was, like, so amazing. Like, it felt so good. And the way he hit it, like, I want to buy a print of that photo that will be everywhere soon, where he literally, as he hits the ball, he's already, as he finishes his swing, both hands are up over his head. The catcher, have you watched the replay?
I have.
The catcher, as literally as the ball comes off the bat, is already turning to walk to the dugout. It is just, it's going to be an iconic Blue Jays photo, guaranteed forever. And I at some point I will buy a print of that.
So rubbing it further in my face.
Why do you like Baltimore?
No, I missed the game.
Oh,
I couldn't watch it. I mean, I woke up the next day, couldn't watch it. It was already spoiled. Not spoiled, but I mean, it was spoiled, I guess. But it was, I already knew the outcome, and there's no way I can, you know, I've watched, I've seen that clip. It's awesome. I'm not even that upset that I missed it, because the game I really wanted to watch was the Giants game. Giants
Mets. Right.
Love the pitching duel. Love Bumgarner versus Syndergaard, and it
was everything. Oh, it was supposed to be. Yeah.
Watching Bumgarner pitch was just fantastic. Like that to me, even though generally, you know, hitters like to watch games, you know, slugfests, and pitchers like to watch pitching duels. But I happen to love pitching duels. I really appreciate what those two guys did. So
the best part about watching that is that the knowledge of the fact that the Blue Jays gave up Syndergaard for R.A. Dickey. So that's awesome. So that's who they gave up to get R.A. Dickey, who I don't even know if he's actually even on the roster for the playoffs.
Depends which round. He probably wasn't on the roster for the
He wasn't on for the wild card, but I'm not even sure. Like, I don't think he's going to pitch in the playoffs. That's my my gut on it. Unless something happens, they have too much good starting pitching. Unless they throw him in somewhere for the bullpen, he is not going to get a start.
I would assume he'll come in the bullpen. He's a great guy to have in the bullpen.
Yeah, I guess.
Because he can go long relief if you need him. But this isn't baseball.
This is a full baseball podcast. But anyways, it's full swing mode, and the Blue Jays are basically going to win the World Series this year. So,
which is why I will only do Facebook between 6 and 6:15 p.m. my time.
Right.
Because then I will not be spoiled on anything. If everybody would just cool it with the Jays. Or whoever, that I'd be okay with it.
Okay. All
right. Can't do it.
Noted.
Woo! Got a long list of other things to chirp about.
Okay.
Not really. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did. I did this week. There are actually multiple interesting things, but I'll just talk about one interesting thing. Decided to take the camera, the 5D Classic, and a strobe to sort of an adult games night to do like photo booth, so a sort of makeshift photo booth.
Okay, I was thinking of something else when you said adult games night.
Yeah, just like, you know, you play all different whatever
Cranium.
Board. Yeah, well, not Cranium, but board games, whatever
Trivial
they
Pursuit.
Decided. No, nothing like that. More the acted out, like kind of silly games that you play with a group of people.
Like Cranium?
No, is that an acted out one?
I have no idea.
I don't know. No, I didn't. One of the games was Who Knew? I don't know. I didn't know some of the games, so they had to tell me. One was this like cups game where you had to stack them real quick, where when you involve alcohol, it's your reaction time is much slower. Mm-hmm. But it was a good time, and I just said to the friend of mine that was hosting the party, I said, hey, do you think it would be fun to bring a photo booth, and I'll bring a bunch of like props? And she said, oh, she had a bunch of props, and then we could, you know, just take some silly photos. And so, yeah, I did that, and I set it up, and then I realized, again, the bell went off my head, I don't know, a couple weeks ago when you said, what about, you know, the optical trigger on the studio strobe? Mm-hmm. Because I was going to, we were doing four lights, and I didn't, it never occurred to me, because I have three triggers for my pocket wizards, or four, but one has to go on the camera, and I thought, hey, that never occurred to me to not use a trigger on the strobe. There's no need to use a trigger on the strobe, unless I want to power it like through the camera, like I have that little thing that you can control the strobe if you have a trigger on it. So anyways, long story
short or shorter, I just basically put a flash on top of my camera, didn't use triggers at all, aim the flash kind of off and away at the ceiling, and then had the strobe. So
you had it on low power though, right?
The flash.
Yeah.
The one on the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, low power and
like, wait, sorry, were you using it to...
Just to trigger the strobe.
So if you have it on a low power, it's not going to probably not going to affect your image.
Right. Yeah, okay. I didn't really want it to affect the image. I wanted the light to be from the strobe with the big softbox on it.
Gotcha.
So that's what I did. And then I set up I dug out my timer, not my timer, my remote control that goes into the camera, and it has a little, you know, little remote. And then I set it on a remote setting where it would give you like a 10-second window, and basically mm-hmm. all the people had to do. So this way, no one's going up to the camera, fiddling with the camera, knocking over the camera. So I put the camera on a tripod, dialed in all the settings the way I want it, and just put the remote over by a table so anybody who wanted to have a photo could just stand on the painter's tape line that I put in front of a blank wall mm-hmm. and hit the remote trigger, and they had 10 seconds, the camera would beep, and then they'd take their photo. And everyone really enjoyed this. This was a fun thing. And we got about 6 people across the line in a photo, and I think I set it at about an F8 with the camera had a 50mm lens on it, so it was perfect. Everything was always in focus. As long as people, you know, stood within a foot or two of the line, it was sharp. And, mm-hmm. yeah, you just grabbed whatever items out of the tickle trunk that you wanted, and you threw them on.
The tickle trunk.
Yeah.
Did you just say tickle trunk?
It was the laundry basket
that
filled
is a, with... You just call it all the Canadians.
Yeah, it's a Mr. Dress-Up thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyways... That was good fun, and super easy, and without the use of the triggers, like I swear it took me all of 4 minutes to set this up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I pretty much just put the softbox, you know, pretty much head on, a very, very slight angle. But I figured I put the softbox also sideways, you know, this is the big one, the Paul Buff, the giant softbox.
Okay.
So I turned it instead of up and down and sort of, a horizontal orientation. I did it side so that if you did put 5 people across, you'd get a nice even spread of light across.
Right. So that was horizontal then.
Horizontal, not vertical, is how I put it. I often, right. when I shoot a portrait, would set it vertical.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I put a few samples. I didn't ask everybody else at the party to post these online because some of them are pretty silly. You know, I put a few pictures that you could post up on the website of just me doing silly things. And then one that's just more a simple portrait of my wife and I just jumped in for one. So you could get, you know, this doesn't have to be goofy. It can be, but it could also be just something that you do with nice photos for your friends if you got together and they're not in the silly mode.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea,
and people loved it. Like it once, what? Because I kind of, you know, at first people are a little bit shy and reserved about doing this, but I think the key is that there's no photographer in the room. I think that makes it much mm-hmm. better. If I'm standing there and people have to come up and do this, I think it's a little bit, especially if they don't know me, a little more intimidating. So the fact that it was in its own room and you could go in whenever you want and just basically people like that. They got silly and got into it.
Great. My only criticism, and this isn't really a criticism of you.
Okay.
It is. I'm not a fan of the background wall color.
Oh, sorry.
Not a lot of options. I'm guessing you didn't have options. Yeah, I'm not pointing my fingers.
One wall where there was nothing on it. So
Do you like the background color?
It's fine. It's again, I thought the same thing. I'm like, different color. I would have liked a darker color. Like I've Correct. Done this at my sister-in-law's house with a blue, which I think works better. A white would have been fine too. Like it's a beige wall, so yeah, you get the beige. But again, it's fine. These aren't intended to be. To be going on anyone's walls. They're just kind of a fun thing. And I guess I could have done them in black and white if I really wanted to get rid of that color. But I like the color of the out. The difference is, I think you're looking at photos that have basically one person in them. Mm-hmm. So when you put 5 or 6 across, you pretty much lose the background anyway. So
right.
it works just fine. So yeah, with one person and a lot of wall in there, it's a little bit off-putting.
What I would like to see is your friends who own this through the party.
Yeah.
They must have a picture of the two of them together.
They do. They're pretty silly ones though.
I would love for them, you should print it. You should get one printed and frame it and give it to them and make them hang it on that wall.
Yeah. Huge.
Meta.
A huge wall stretch.
That is meta. And just, wow, that's the actual wall.
Yeah. All right.
Genius.
Christmas present. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so that was it. That was interesting. Oh, and I did do a family photo shoot. Mm-hmm. For, you know, funny enough, the same people, paid gig, same people that hosted the party, we did a family photo shoot for them.
Where'd you go?
Just to Gary Point Park. Mm-hmm. And
just the, like it's fantastic there.
Yeah, I know, it's great. And I suggested it. Unfortunately, our time of day was not good because they had stuff. They wanted to do this. They wanted this time of year, but they had swimming lessons at one time and they have young kids. And it was like, all right, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, all right,
because
we had hockey. And so it just worked for everyone in terms of time. And both they and my family are busy. So this is the time we're going to do it. And it was overcast in the morning, supposed to be kind of cloudy for the bulk of the day. I was like, no problem. That should work. Came out of hockey for Jack. We had to go right to the photo shoot and it was completely clear skies, blazing sun. And so I got home and it would have been too late to tell them like, this is a bad time to do it. So I basically said, well, Lisa was home. Sarah had a play date. I said, everyone's coming to Gary Point because I'm going to need people to hold some lights and things, right? So,
right.
So anyways, we made it a family event and I got some helpers and made it work. And so, yeah, it turned out really well, but it was one of those situations where this would have been very difficult by myself. I needed flash. So,
okay.
Yeah. And with Gary Point and wanting to put them in places with rocks and stuff, pretty hard to do with light stands. So it was super helpful to have an assistant in my wife, with some lights.
And they're thrilled. The family's thrilled to get to help daddy.
Yeah. And the other thing that I found was with young kids and flash in midday sun is you have to choose. Are you gonna blind them with full power, unfiltered flash,
mm-hmm.
or are you going to have to, you know, make a decision as to what's more important? These were young kids. I want to say 5 and 3 maybe, or 4 and 6, mm-hmm. and so I chose to put softeners on the flash and then just have to, you know, basically I'm going to lose a little bit of the deep blue sky. I'm going to make it a very light blue, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to blind them. And so I use full power flash, but through umbrella or softbox.
Sure.
And that way everyone was happier. So it was kind of a conscious decision I made that I wasn't going to blind them. So I was going to go with filtered flash.
I think you made the right call.
Yeah, I think so. And they like the photos and I like the photos and I'm going to post a few of those on my website as well.
Great.
There you go. What about you? I talked a lot now.
That was good.
Ever since like your number story.
Yeah, I want to talk to you more about the number 7. And why as a fraction it's repeating. Okay, never mind. No, I shot a video actually. I don't think I showed it to you yet. I had to shoot a video of myself.
Okay.
Which was delightful, because a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, who I'm pretty sure you've met, is running for office in America.
Okay.
And he wanted a...
President?
Well, given the current situation, they might be looking for somebody, so yeah.
Okay.
He might be a last-minute audible at the line of scrimmage. No, it's a state government in Colorado, and well, you'll figure out. His name's Chris Hadsall. I'll post the video, and so you'll figure out who it is because I use his name in it.
Okay.
But he's looking for. I think we talked about it last week. Did we mention it?
No.
Okay.
Off air.
Yeah, maybe off air then. And so, anyways, he wanted me to do a what do you call it? not a testimonial, but like when you. Endorse. He wanted an endorsement from friends.
Okay.
As a human being.
Just random people?
Just random people. He found me on Facebook. I have no idea who this guy is. No, he's actually a very good friend of mine. And I said, yeah, of course. I will do this for you. But mostly, generally what people are doing is just kind of using their, you know, their phones and on selfie mode and doing this. But I don't have a phone and you know, I feel
not how you do things anyway.
Right. And plus I feel like there's a little more pressure on me for production value. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to do this with my DSLR and wireless mic and all that. And, I'm going to go, and part of the appeal is that you know, he has people all over the world who will endorse him, and so I kind of have to shoot it in the old town in Germany.
Okay.
He didn't ask for that. He didn't care. I could have stood in my office with the cell phone, and he would have been fine. But I wanted to go do it there, and so we did. Went and set up the camera on a tripod in the old town, and did a few takes, and it was weird standing, because I wanted there to be people in there, like, you know, vibrant Tubingen. And that was kind of strange, to sit stand there and just talk in English about my friend with people just watching. And there's a few people who were really, really interested.
Yeah.
So I actually did it twice. I did it one time by myself. And that oddly is impossible to do, because you're standing there with the camera on a tripod and no one manning it. It looks very, very strange. And people just walking by in the shot, staring at me and kind of like did not know what was going on. So the next time I couldn't use any of it because of the people.
Just so milling around in
just
the background.
Just milling and yeah, it just was very confusing to them. And so I went and did it a second time. I went and took a guy from my ball team. I said, all you got to do here is, like, I'll set the camera up. I'll set the audio up. All you got to do here is stand by the camera and look like you're running it. And that's it. And there it was still a spectacle, obviously, because this is a normal occurrence in the Marktplatz. However, it was way more acceptable, like visually acceptable, to have someone manning the camera. So I was I was left alone for the most part. But some people were really, really into it. Like this couple just stood behind the camera and watched me the whole time.
This is on the news.
Yeah, they were. I said, oh, no, I gave him, you know, his Facebook page, and said, well, you can find it there eventually. But my favorite part was, like, the husband was talking to me and this and that, and, you know, oh, you're from America? No, we're both Canadians, and then his wife came over and wanted to meet us, and said, oh, you're American? And her husband said, no, they're Canadians. And she just turns to us in German and just says, oh, lumberjacks.
Yeah.
There you go.
Where's your axe?
Yeah. Well, of course we're lumberjacks. We're Canadian.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll post the video. It's very short. I try to keep it under around a minute just because, you know, attention span. So that's what I shot this week that turns out wasn't interesting. But we'll move on.
Great.
Photo
anxiously
challenge.
Anxiously awaiting for that trailer of that to drop.
It's not even a trailer of the short video.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a still.
It's like a teaser.
It's just a half a still. I'd take a partial frame grab.
Okay.
Actually, interesting. I'll go. It was kind of funny because there is a guy, the dad of one of the kids on our team, showed up or just happened to be walking by while we were shooting. And decided, you know, hey, how you doing? Like, while I'm mid-take, what kind of, like, walks up to me and just, hey, what's going on? You know? Like,
yeah.
Kind of in the middle of something.
That's awesome.
Don't be rude. So he decided, okay, well, I'll just go stand in behind you and lean against the wall. And so there's a wide shot and a close-up so I can edit and cut this down, right? So in the wide shot at the end, you'll see on the very right-hand side, the bottom, you'll see the 61-year-old man wearing Crocs.
Nice.
In public, it's awesome. You only see his Crocs. Like I think they just stick out into the frame, and so yeah, there you go. There's a little Easter egg for our listeners.
Great.
Enjoy his Crocs. I don't know if he's 50. Maybe he's 55. I don't know. I didn't ask for ID. So, there you go. Nice Crocs, sir. All right. Photo challenge this week. It is fall, despite the fact that it's not really. Is it fall?
I don't know. It's fall-ish.
It's fall eve, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So it might have been a couple 2 weeks early for photos.
Yeah, I think so.
Darn it. Let's have a look at your photos you posted too.
Yeah, I'm really it's the panel that's my fall shot. The other one I was just outside on the way to school. I took a picture of Sarah. That both pictures taken with my point and shoot with my Sony RX 100 point and shoot.
So this is an in-camera panorama.
Yeah, this is all in camera. So I did this with the point and shoot. I basically, Friday morning after I dropped the kids off at school, I went looking for fall because I don't see it around my house. I haven't really seen it. It seems like, I don't know, some people with some super leaf blowers have gotten rid of them all. So I drove around Steveston looking for fall. And then, again, this is where baseball's been on the mind lately because I've been entrenched in the Blue Jays for the last couple weeks because it was kind of a bit of a stretch drive for them and now into the playoffs. So I was thinking baseball, and then I saw, as I pulled near the Steveston Community Center, you know where this park is, right? This
I
is
do.
Your hometown, home, well, maybe one of your home fields.
It only just became a baseball field. It's historically a softball field.
Oh, okay.
However... Okay. When we were young, we used to, like, you know, 13, 14, we would ride our bikes down here and we would have a home run derby.
Okay. Yeah.
Because for baseball,
it would have been short fence. Yeah.
Yeah. It's about 250 feet all the way around.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you for us, it was relatively easy to put one out there. And so we would have our own little, like they do for the All Star game.
Yeah.
Except
we did the same with a short field like that when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But we started banging them off the dojo there, the Japanese center.
Yeah,
in right
which
field.
Is next door, yeah.
So we had to stop.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I saw this and I thought, oh, that's cool. There's like lots of trees around. And I mean, as you can see, not enough color change in the trees to really make it super fallish. But you do see mm-hmm. some leaves around the fence. And I just thought it would be a cool spot to take a pano. So it was partly, you know, wanting to take a panorama with the new little point and shoot camera and just feeling fall and baseball kind of rolled up into one. And regardless of the fact that this doesn't scream fall, mm-hmm. I am wildly impressed in the quality of the image from an in-camera panorama. Like, I can't get over how good a job it does, and the dynamic range is really good. Like, I can still see some detail in the shadows, and I get the good color out of the clouds
does
and
it
the,
do
the
it,
blue of the sky.
In panorama mode, will it take a raw image?
I don't believe so. No, I don't think so. It converts it to a different format. I don't know if it's straight JPEG or what it is, because I've set to RAW, but it's not a RAW image, no.
Right.
And you don't have a lot of control in terms of the shutter speed or any of that. I don't even know if you can really change it. It's kind of locked into one mode, and so you get to set the exposure based on where you choose to do the exposure lock. Mm-hmm. So in here, I wanted to make sure I kept the sky. So I aimed it just above the trees to expose for the sky. And then I basically pulled it across and worked with what it gave me as far as the shadow detail and the field and everything. But I just wanted to make sure I didn't blow out the sky. I thought, you know, it was more important to keep that than to keep the shadows properly exposed in the foreground.
I like it. I wish we waited 2 weeks for this one.
Yeah, this one, if it had all the colors in the trees, I think it could be a spectacular image. Mm-hmm. And as it is, it just, to me, shows what this can do in a panorama. It's just, the detail is fantastic.
So I tell you what, in 2 or 3 weeks, we'll reissue this challenge.
I'll redo it.
No, not necessarily this, but we will redo the challenge, I think.
Oh, I'm just thinking I'll redo the same image at the same time to see mm-hmm. what the difference is. Yeah, and then I can compare. And
will you stand in center field next time?
Maybe. Maybe I will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure if that would be better, though. I like the
asymmetry?
The fence.
Okay.
Well, I did take it from dead center. I did.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like it as much. I have the exact same photo from dead ahead center field, but for whatever reason, I just liked this angle better and just where the backstop fell. Like, yeah, I didn't mm-hmm. like it completely symmetrical, but I thought exactly what you did is I thought, oh, this will be better head on. Didn't like it.
Okay, good tip. Good tip for the kids.
So there you go. I did, and the snapshot of my daughter was just that. But again, just showing how much I love this camera, mm-hmm. the straight ahead snapshot is... I mean, again, and other than being able to out-focus the background a little bit more with my SLR, mm-hmm. not sure I would do any better with the exact same photo with a different camera. So I think what this forces you to do with this camera is really just focus on looking for the light, like just here, where is the light going to be good? And then if you put yourself in a good situation, the camera does a fantastic job. But you can't necessarily dig yourself out of a bad situation the way you might be able to with an SLR. I think that's the big difference maker.
I found that. I was just doing that yesterday, as a matter of fact. I was shooting more of the stone photos. that we talked about the week before, and some not bad situations, but not ideal. I mean, like, generally, we have to go and spend the whole day. It's like an 11-hour day driving all across South Germany, going to different places. So you can't control the light. You have to kind of shoot what you get.
Right.
And so there's a lot of me saving images and bringing the sky back, bringing the shadows up. And the client was impressed. So he said, wow, you can do that? And, well, I can do it. You yeah. can't do it. Keep hiring me. That camera, you bought it on Craigslist?
Craigslist for $300.
$300. I it might be something I consider getting for my wife, because she doesn't want to carry the DSLR around.
Yeah.
I would like her to take pictures. She likes taking pictures, and this might be just the thing.
And it has all the manual controls that she's learned are all there, and AV mode and TV mode, all the typical DSLR settings. But just in a much, much smaller package. Very easy to handle and use, though. And like I say, I love the fact that it slips into a pocket. You don't even know it's there. So she might like that. My wife likes it. My daughter really likes it.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I went for us, we went on a little fall hike. My picture looks a little more fall than it really was.
Yours looks very fall.
It does. I really had to pick my spot, though. Like, you fall. It's pretty much the same kind of fall that you have there. It's not quite here yet. We did kind of find one spot. We went for a hike up this little hill. We'll call it a hill, where some old ruins are. Had a little campfire and roasted some hot dogs? No, they're not hot. They're not hot. They're sausage, for all you care.
Okay.
Rotoverst. Anyways, did that with a bunch of families, with all the kids that are the same age, friends of ours, and I said, hey, we got to pose for a group photo. And I had brought my DSLR. It's my 40D with the 30mm, of course. And I saw this one spot. Now, all the kids were playing, and the clouds were in and out, and so we were kind of getting, you know, harsh sun and then overcast and harsh sun, and I wanted nice overcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it right in this spot. I wanted the kind of the ruins in the background, the trees, the leaves on the ground. But right when you know, about a half an hour before we're ready to head home, is when I'm going to start thinking about this photo, like how to take the group photo of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And right then, just these four adults with a couple of babies in their strollers decided to walk up the hill. And there's a huge, like a picnic area, a bunch of picnic tables just kind of behind me and camera left, and a big fire pit, and there's actually a covered over area to go and sit down and do what you want. But they decided to go and stand by that tree in the background, just stand there.
Mm-hmm.
And all four of them stand in a line and then stare at everybody having their picnic. And I didn't understand. And they're just sitting there just texting. That's all they were doing for like half an hour.
Oh, no.
And I was just pulling my hair out. Like, what are you doing? Why are you standing there? Not forget the fact that I want to take a picture there with that as the background. You're just standing there texting. What are you doing?
Right.
But did finally, they tell you? No, I didn't get involved. Like my wife said, hey, we'll go ask them to move. I said, I can't. They're obviously not playing with a full deck. They're standing here four in a row staring at everybody texting. What am I going to say? I'm going to get into a fight, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. And then everybody said, and then right behind me at that same time, this was a big day of weirdness. And they with the fire going, we built the fire and started cooking the hot dogs. Like, we cut sticks down, my kids. My daughter, she has her own knife, and so she, you know, she's carving her own stick, and everyone's all the kids. We're all doing that. The sticks with the hot dogs in the fire. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
It works. Why? Well, some other guy showed up and put a big rock. Some guy we don't know put a big rock, big stone in the sort of next to the fire, and then put all of his hot dogs in this tinfoil tray and set it on the stone and walked away.
Hmm?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I said to everybody, all the. I said, what is that guy doing? I want to go push him down the hill. I was really rattled by, like, what are you warming up pumpkin soup? Like, what are you doing here? It's a hot dog fire.
Right.
I don't have an answer. Like, you're gonna get no satisfaction out of this story because I never found out. I had to leave.
Did he? Oh, he didn't come back and get it though. He must have come back.
Oh, he came back. He was sitting. He was sitting at a different table, and I could have gone and asked, but I don't know if I wanted to engage that person in dialogue.
Right.
Whoever does that, who brings tinfoil like that? I mean, you want to throw some potatoes in the fire? Great, I'm in. Throw some potatoes with some chopped onions, wrap it in tinfoil, throw it in the coals. Bam, that's camping.
Don't just, I can see how this has really gotten to you.
Yeah, yeah. Guy's just making noodles next to the fire. I don't understand.
Yeah. Don't question his methods. Don't question his methods. Yeah,
I'm questioning.
Chef Ramsay.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that means. All right. Anyways, that's my photo. Blam.
What do you notice
about the photo?
Cooking show, Chef Ramsay.
Okay. Great. Let's get back to the photo real quick before we get into the topic. We're running out of time here.
What about you've warmed it up like beyond belief.
Is it on your monitor? Because I checked. I didn't warm it up.
I just calibrated my monitor.
No, I understand. I have not calibrated mine. Is it that warm? I'll leave it.
It's really warm. It's really, again, on my screen, I'm looking at it going, there is no light that's even close to this right now.
Okay. On my monitor.
Well, not in our parts of the world anyways.
Okay, on my tube. Well, okay, that's different then. We do have, it was a warmer light. However, I can't speak to your monitor. On my monitors, it looks normal. I have not calibrated in a while, so that I understand. I get you. I'm in.
Yeah.
Let me see on this one. No,
and then again, it's just who cares? It's fine. I'm sure it's fine. And when I look at that compared to skin tones in a bit of shadow, like with the snapshot of Sarah, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like it's very cool in comparison.
Yes,
I didn't think mine was that cool at all, but when I put them side by side, I'm like, oh my gosh. But then again, that's just kind of the light that was there that morning. This was first thing in the morning as we're going out to school, and it was kind of a weird kind of cool light in the shadows. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking, okay, well, mine kind of looked like what I took, and I didn't really do anything. I didn't warm it up or anything. Just daylight is all it is, but it is in the shadow, so that'll cool it down. But then I think of yours, I'm like, okay, if that's overcast, that's like way, way warmer than anything I've seen.
I think the white balance is set to whatever the cloud, like it was cloudy, so I set it to the cloudy setting, which is around, depending on your camera, like 6,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think it comes in at 6,000. I set it to that. I didn't warm it up past that.
Okay.
I did bump the saturation a little bit, which I never ever do.
Yeah, and I just thought the other thing that stood out to me in terms of the color, because that's what I was sort of drawn to, mm-hmm. is the pinks. The pinks look really, really pink.
Ah, could be. That might be.
And that might be the saturation.
It could be. Yeah. So I think I had posted two before, and I was going to choose between the two. One where the saturation wasn't boosted. This one was. And ultimately, I said, I'm going to go with the saturation boost and let the cards fall where they may. So if it's too warm on everyone else's screen, then that's on me.
The other question I had, and we've talked about this in the past, and this mm-hmm. is just more of a, I think, a stylistic choice, but I would like to see an image, the same image taken sort of a little bit lower down, closer to eye level of the kids. Like it still seems like a vantage point where maybe that was because you wanted to really see the ground shot kind of like high to low.
I'm not, it might be a little bit of a hill, might be a slope or something, because actually it is a bit of a slope there. Because okay. I am down
eye level?
Pretty close.
Okay.
Not quite, I would think, but a little bit above. But yeah, definitely did hurt my back on this one at some point.
Okay.
But
that's fine. We've talked about it in the past, being eye level, and this perspective looks like it's shot on a downward angle. Mm-hmm. Not way down, like not from you standing completely tall, but
right.
Not eye level to the kids.
Now, one thing that I wanted to point out is that there's a lot of goofy faces, a lot of sort of not photo faces going on, especially in the left side of the image.
Yeah.
But you'll notice that my kids look right.
Yeah, your kids have their smile faces on.
And that's not because my kids behave better. It's because out of the 12 photos I took, because the kids wouldn't, they were goofing around. That's what kids do. They don't cooperate. But out of the 12 photos, this was the one where my kids looked the best. And thus, this was the keeper.
Right.
So everyone else whose kids, and there's other ones where their kids were behaving in zero of the photos. So I just was, okay, forget it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my kids
are smiling. I'm with you on that. Whatever photo my kids look the best in, that's the keeper.
Yep. So my advice to those other parents is A, learn how to take pictures, or B, learn how to be a parent. If those are your two choices, man, if you want good pictures of your kids.
Yes,
you're failing. I agree. All right, we still have time for the topic. This week's
we do,
topic.
No, we don't.
We have to have a topic, but I want to talk about this one.
Okay.
Shouldn't take too long, this one. Another 45 minutes only.
Great.
This week's topic is card management. How do you manage your cards?
Card wallet. Good night, everybody.
No, that part, definitely. I have a. Do we have the same card wallet?
I don't even have one. I have a compartment in my bag that has cards.
Oh, okay.
And so I basically just keep the cards slid in that's my sort of makeshift wallet.
I forget that wasn't what I was referring to when I talked about card management, but I do have a card wallet. Yeah. I forget what the name of
that's
it is.
That's card storage. That's card episode ninja. 302.
No, I think card we talked storage. About that before, but I think mine's called the Card Ninja or something like that.
Okay, I don't have one.
But now that you're shooting with CF cards, and if you have multiple cards, highly recommend a card wallet. It is really, really fantastic. And I'll post a picture of mine at some point. But here's what made me think of card management. Cards are getting, capacity-wise, they're getting huge.
Yes.
Right?
64 gigs.
64 gig costs mere pennies. I think. No, actually, I bought a couple of 64 gig CF cards. Are still rather relatively expensive. They're not $11 anymore, like, you know, some of the other cards.
SD cards are very cheap.
Yeah. SD cards are cheap. CF cards that are fast enough to handle HD video, which is what I need, a little more expensive, but really not. Like, compared to what, you know, the prices were, they've come down. Point being, for almost no money, especially if you're shooting SD, you can get huge capacity cards. Cards that you will not fill on a vacation.
Right.
And that was where I found my... Like, where I was going to Italy a few months ago. We talked about it. I was going to bring two cameras, 5D Classic and the 40D. And I thought, you know what? There's no way. I have two 64 gig cards. If I put one in each of those cameras... I will not, even though I can go trigger happy, I will not fill either one of those cards.
No, that's a huge capacity.
If I do fill it, I have to take a long, hard look in the mirror.
Correct.
So that was my plan. I thought, you know what? That's all I'm going to do. Two cards, keep your life simple. That's all I need.
Right.
Or was it?
Oh, no. There's a twist to this story.
There's a twist. Well, that's why
we're
talking
about it. Is it divisible by 7 or 3?
Neither. It's a prime. No, I brought 5 more cards. I did. I thought two. I went from 2 to 7.
Oh, that, no.
That's how I did it. No, and I stand by this decision.
Oh, no.
But here's the thing. Because we're gone for about 2.5 weeks or something like that. First week, we're staying in a house with friends. Second week, camping in an RV. So I figured, okay, great. We're going to go. There was a 12%. Okay, we'll call it 7%. Keep it consistent with the show.
Yeah, yeah.
7% chance that, it was a 14.28% chance.
Oh, no.
You geeks know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
You don't need to know. P.S. that's 1 in 7. That I was going to bring my laptop with me. Thought, you know what, yeah, I could bring up, I have the smaller, the MacBook Pro, the older one, I can bring that, and then I could, that way I can, you know, download all my pictures, I'm never going to lose them. And then, what am I thinking? I'm on vacation, I don't want to do that. I don't want forget the fact that it might get stolen or broken or lost or whatever, I just don't want to have my laptop with me. I don't want to be managing photos when I could be swimming.
That's
better. So I didn't. However, that means you're not going to back up your photos until you get home, which is kind of a problem.
Right.
So I ultimately, the night before, I decided, you know what, I'm going to throw these five 4-gig cards. I'm going to throw them in there as well. They're worth very little now, you know, monetarily, but they're very handy. So I'm going to throw them in there. Why? What, besides the backup, What if one of my 64 gigabit cards gets corrupted?
What if?
Unlikely. How many times have you had a card get corrupted?
I haven't had it happen.
I've had it happen once early on, and it was like a really complete fluke. I don't know what happened. I managed to save all the photos. Life was fine. However, the sheer number of times it hasn't happened since makes it wildly unlikely. Possible, not really a concern of mine.
Okay.
What about, have you ever gone through your photos and like, why are you shooting them? And then go, oh, don't need that. And so you just delete photos in the back of your camera?
I have done it.
Have you ever accidentally deleted one that you wanted?
No.
Again, I think I might have. It is unlikely. It's unlikely, but I thought about that. What if you do accidentally delete it? What happens then? Can you get it back?
I think you can, right?
Unless you start shooting on that card. If you delete one by accident, you can recover it fairly easily when you get home on a computer.
Okay.
However, if you start shooting, you're likely to shoot over top and right over top of your deleted photo, and then it's gone. And then you're out of luck.
Right. Right.
So, you know, maybe I'm shooting, maybe I feel, you know, shot most of the vacation, accidentally deleted the greatest photo of all vacation time. Okay. And oh my God, I got to get that back. Well, I have to take that card out, and now I have no card to shoot the rest of the vacation. I might even top that photo the next day. Can't shoot it.
Right.
Don't have the card. Unlikely.
Yes.
Possible. What about if it's stolen?
Oh no.
Far more likely.
Just the card.
No. Ah, see, there you go. We've talked many, many times about having a beater camera. I mine's the 40D. I don't care if it gets nicked. That's British for stolen. I don't care if it falls in the ocean. I don't care if it gets smashed. I don't care if that camera ceases to exist in my life. But if I'm on day 13 of the 2 week vacation and it gets stolen and all my photos are on there, I'm going to be sour.
Right.
That is the main reason I decided to not put all my eggs in one basket.
But this only applies if you're carrying more than one camera, because if you're only carrying one camera, then if it gets stolen, you have no point to having more cards.
Right, but all the photos that you shot, you still have. Or unless you're
I'm just saying,
do you write your PIN number on the back of your credit card?
No.
No, you keep them in separate places.
In my head.
Right, and that's where I store all the... I break each photo down into its binary code, and I remember all the ones and zeros. And then get back and write them.
No, I'm just saying this piece of advice only applies if you plan on bringing more than one camera.
I disagree.
Why?
It absolutely applies if you're bringing one camera.
Why? Because I'm just going to... On the potential of my camera being stolen every 2 days, going to switch out the card so that when my camera eventually gets stolen, I've got the other cards. Is that the theory?
You make it sound like it's a ludicrous idea. I think it's a great idea.
Okay. All right.
Okay. When you go mountain climbing, do you never tie in with your carabiner, or you just climb up the mountain? Like, just go like Tom Cruise.
I'm a free climber, man. I'm a free climber.
Yeah. Yeah, we all know how that worked out. Do we? I don't think I saw the end of that one.
Yeah. I think he lived, right?
I'm assuming. They made four more of them.
Yeah.
So, but for me, like, that's the thing. Is now, I know that, like, when we're staying in the house, I don't really care. I'm not worried about my friends breaking into our room and stealing my card. It's not likely.
Right.
It's happened. You know? More than twice, no. But... So in that case, security is fine. And when we're going on day trips and walking around different towns, Siena, for example, I don't set my camera down at the pizza place and wander off.
Right.
It's always with me. So I'm not concerned that someone's going to grab my camera there. However, as we said, we're going camping and we're going to the beach in the day and I'm taking my camera to the beach. Well, I'm the kind of guy who I take my camera to the beach. I'm not just going to sit there on the towel. I'm going to put my camera in a backpack and go for a swim. You know, I tried to stuff it in the toe of my shoe to hide it from thieves, but it's just too big.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. So I still want to enjoy my vacation, and thus I don't want to worry about my camera. So boom, I don't lock it up. You're at the beach. What are you going to do? You just hope that, all right, hopefully no one steals it.
Right.
And people see you. It's not like you hide, you know, hide it in your backpack. People see you have a camera, and it can get picked up pretty quickly. So in that case, I don't want the rest of the vacation, the week at the house with all my friends. I don't want the three previous days. I don't want those pictures going missing. Mm-hmm. So I brought cards for beach days. And on top of that, if we're going to the beach and I'm not bringing my camera, which happened more often than the other way around, we have to leave it back at the campsite in the RV, locked up and relatively safe. But who knows? You leave your camera laying around long enough, it might get picked up. And then again, all your vacation photos are gone. And so I said, no, I'm going to bring beach cards with me.
Gotcha.
Brought the card wallet. I have many cards. Doesn't really matter. I have a whole bunch. Collecting them as the capacity grew, I get more and more.
This lesson would be better learned if you're the end of the story finished with your camera getting stolen and you were able to have all these photos because of all the different cards.
Except the last day. The one photo of me running after the thief. He's like, I don't know what made him so cavalier that he thought he could turn and snap photos of me while I was chasing him.
And then he pulled the card and hucked it at you so you'd have it.
Here you go, buddy. Arrivederci. Ow. I just got robbed by Chef Boyardee. All right. Too soon? All right. No. So that's essentially it. So to me, that is the card management. Is I bring those. If you know you're going to have to leave your camera laying around in situations like that, leave the rest of the vacation photos on a different card. Now, what I don't do, this is what I do not recommend, this is where you can run into trouble, is once you take a card out, you've shot, let's say, two-thirds of card A for a week. You take it out because you're going to go to the beach the next day. You put in card B. You fill it up. Do not go back to card A. That is a situation, especially in the older cameras, where you might run into trouble. I think the time I ran into trouble was because I didn't format the card and the numbering got confusing. Like the last picture was, 1118, and then the next picture taken was 2471 or something like that. And some confusion happened in the camera world. So once A is done, put it away and have enough cards to keep shooting and adding to. That's my recommendation.
Or just take your chances and bring the two cards or one card like you said you were going to do initially.
Nope. Worked out for me.
I like to live my life one card at a time.
Thanks, Vin. No, but see, on top of what I would do is the funny thing is on the way down, we drove down from our place, and we spent one night, two days driving, one night, one overnight. But the way the trip worked out, we actually had to pay the house guy, cash for renting the place. It's a long story. It's four different families. Rather than transferring money, we could just bring cash. Well, I don't love going to RVing with a ton of cash kicking around. But we did one night. So basically, what I did was I taped it. Hit it in the RV somewhere, taped it with duct tape. So that later on, after I was done shooting pictures, I would use the duct tape and basically tape the card somewhere inside the RV in case, not so much for the thieves, just because I knew my kids would find them and get it, start throwing rocks at them or something.
Right.
So that was overkill. I fully admit duct taping them inside was overkill. Again, my kids are relentless.
Yeah.
If you put your coffee down in somewhere they've never been before, they'll find it and kick it over. That's what they do. So there you go. So that's my recommendation for card management. Any questions about that? Was I unclear?
No, you're very clear.
Crystal.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got a bunch of other notes on it.
No, please no.
No. I didn't, but just to counter that, when I was just recently again, I mentioned I had day two of driving around Germany shooting paving stones, Natursteine. I only took the one. I had other cards with me, but I only took the one card, to shoot on. I took a 64 gig card and just kept shooting on that. But I had my laptop because we're in a car, so I just had my laptop in the front seat, and as we would shoot, I would offload them on the drive to the next place. I'd offload those pictures, pop the card right back in, didn't care.
Right.
So I'm not against the big cards, the high-capacity cards. I highly recommend them.
What about... Okay, so I guess to me, this really is more about what are you shooting? So if you're going to shoot something that you can't afford to lose any photos with, then I understand. I 100% agree with your strategy here. If I'm on a family vacation and my camera got stolen, I'm pretty sure... Looking back on it, I would be fine with why are there no photos of that vacation? Well, that was the vacation that my camera got stolen.
Blame Chef Boyardee, man.
and the memory would be more of that than it would be, oh, look at all these photos that I got, with my second camera after my first camera got stolen. I'm sure the lasting impression of that vacation would be, oh, yeah, that was the one where Daddy's camera got ripped off at the beach. I don't know.
Yeah.
For me, if it was a paid job or something, but losing photos from one family vacation, again, we're kind of outliers when it comes to how many different family photos we have. If you're my parents and you have six photos of me growing up, right. I can't afford to lose those six photos. That's all I've got from my childhood. But for my kids, losing a family vacation's worth of photos would not be that big of a deal.
That's one of the many reasons I'm better than you.
Okay. Your vacations need to be captured.
No, but in this instance, not better than you, but really, this was a... Unfortunately, it might be a once-in-a-lifetime vacation. Like, because it was the four families, like we're in the mafia. Sorry, that doesn't exist. Sorry, speaking of Italy. no, but these four families coming together with all their kids, like these are people I grew up with, and for all of us to come together in Tuscany, probably not going to happen again, okay. Unfortunately. And so I did really want to have some nice photos from that vacation. But okay. You're right. In general, if it's just a one-week trip to Disney, especially Disneyland for you, where you've been, a few times with the kids, it might not be as big a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think that you'd be okay if you lost your card. Like you say, between all your friends and between your technical savvy, had that situation, the unlikely situation of your camera getting stolen somewhere along that trip happened. You would have been probably fine with a couple of people snapping some cell phone pictures in the shade of everyone together. Because that's all you're going to look back at the end. You're not going to say, oh, wow, from this vacation, glad I had the technical, I had the 5D with the 70 to 200 mil lens. Like, it's not. Even yourself, the sentiment of the whole thing is everyone getting together, just mm-hmm. having something to capture the group. You could have, nowadays, with everybody's phone,
aren't that intelligent.
Nobody has a phone? You could have taken their phone.
I saw their phone pictures. Yeah. They're terrible.
No, but you could have taken them.
Yeah, but at that point, I wouldn't, though, because they're already gone. We spent the first week together, and then they're gone. They've gone off on vacation. They've gone back home. We've gone camping. So if my camera gets stolen on day 12 at the beach, I lose all those photos. And I wasn't going to sit around and, okay, we'll take a backup pictures with your camera. That sounds obsessive.
Okay.
Like, I'll take our pictures and then, okay, hand me your phone just in case. I'll take pictures of the back of the screen of my 5D and then we'll print those. Those photos would not exist is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And by then it's too late.
I can't convince you on that. You're set on this.
Well, your logic makes no sense. Now, your the sentiment behind it, I do understand. I get what you're saying, and for the most part, I kind of agree. In this one instance, not so much, but the logic that you're dictating that then you'll just get a user phone. Well, that phone's gone. That phone was never used, and they've moved on.
Yeah.
So okay. and you know how this goes is when you're in the group. It's kind of incumbent upon you to all the phones disappear or all the cameras kind of go in the bag because, Al's here. We'll get some good ones.
Yeah.
And that happens with you too.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. There is some truth to it. I still don't think I'll operate that way in terms of my own personal way about things. I wouldn't bring four cards for this situation or five cards and plan on my camera being stolen.
Okay, On the flip side, though, when you and I go on family vacation, I'm taking no pictures of you.
Okay, that's fine. We'll gamble on that.
Your kids either. They're out. All right. Yeah. Photo challenge for next week. Stolen camera. No. Try to tie it in, man. How do you tie that in?
I don't know.
Steal someone's camera.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Pictures that you get off other people's cameras when you steal them.
That, you know what? That's going to be, I've got to give you a little more heads up on that. That will be a future photo challenge, that you take a picture of somebody, a stranger. You walk up cold, just walk up to them cold, take a picture of them with their own camera, have them send it to you. Can you do it? It's like that scene out of Spy Game when Brad Pitt has to go up to the balcony.
That might be easier in Germany than in Vancouver.
I think it would be easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Vancouver, that might be a problem.
And you can't even give them your info. All you can say is you have to Google two hosers and see if they can figure out how to get you that photo.
What that even means.
I'm interested.
Okay. Well, let's not make it this week's challenge.
No, it's going to be next week, though, so get yourself ready for that.
Come on, man.
You have to do it before it's cold.
Give me what is the challenge for this week?
Well, I ironically, I hadn't even seen your photo booth thing. I had figured we should do a photo series, so a series of two or more photos that sort of tie together. But you know what a photo series means. So not the challenge was photo series.
Photo series, so like a sequence of actions that, like if someone was throwing a ball and you kind of got the wind up and then the throw.
Well, not like that, because I did that one photo a couple of weeks ago, all in one.
But that was all in one photo. But I just mean, would that be a photo series? Like, is that what you have?
I don't
in
know.
Mind?
I just wrote it down. It looked good on paper. I was trying to play into your wheelhouse, and now I don't know what it means.
Okay.
What do you want it to mean?
Okay, I'll make it mean whatever I want.
Photo I tried series. To love. No, tell me now, because I need to know what it means.
Is it three photos, or is there a number, or it's whatever you want
I'm assuming a series is two or more.
Okay.
I don't know. All right.
Let's say three or more.
Three or more.
See, I don't think two can count as a series.
No, it doesn't. That's just a sequel.
Best series. Out of two, I guess.
Yeah, you can't. You don't talk about the... I can't think of what movies were only two of them made.
Yeah, let's do three or more, yeah. And they have to be there. Has to be a relationship between them.
That's the point.
Yeah, that makes it a series of photos.
Okay, I was trying to just, you know, lay a muffin out over the plate for you to hit, and now I don't know if either one of us is going to do this.
Okay.
Also, because the last couple of photo challenges that we've done have been subpar.
Yeah, I blame you.
Yeah.
Horrible photo challenge selection.
Yeah, that's true. I keep shooting down your ideas. There was that one on episode 9 where you said, hey, take the lens cap off. And then we did that. And then now, since then, nothing.
Right.
So I challenge you to find a challenge for the week after next when we're doing that stranger thing.
Yeah, I'll find something better than that.
The social experiment. Okay, photo series. That's the challenge. Websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Awesome. Mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the photos, links, everything, and figure out why we took so long on this episode.
Yeah, this episode is like three episodes rolled into one. Actually, let's take the week off.
Yeah, we just did a series this week. Wow. Director's cut. Never watch the director's cut. All right, until next week, get out there and make better photos.